This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our band at the booth, Booth and Prime.
Booth and Prime.
And guys, anticipation is building here at Comic Book Club.
The stakes could not be higher.
It is getting so hot here.
Anticipation is building.
I mean, that's what my voice sounds like. It sounded the same. It sounded like I was over there.
Interesting, weird fight to kick off this Shrine Talk.
This is very exciting. You guys thought the Super Bowl was the big event this week.
No,
it wasn't. The Super Bowl. This is the big event right here. What's going down here? Now, this is a very auspicious day. We have a guest who is returning to us after many years on the show.
Yeah.
He was the person, Pete, who gave you your Punisher slippers.
Started the Shrine.
Now, Pete, I hate to say this. Face the audience. Please face the audience.
I was cheating out. I was doing
No, you were cheating in.
You were cheating.
It's like a little bit.
You were cheating.
A little bit.
But this guest did give you your Punisher slippers.
It started
the Punisher Shrine, and today, we'll explain more in a moment for those of you who are new or listening at home for the first time, today may be the day somebody unlocks the Punisher Shrine.
Yes, exactly. Last episode of last year's podcast, Pete revealed something. He said that he is secretly...
Should we bring out our guest and explain it to
him?
I think that's a good idea. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, very excited about this guest. One of our favorite people to have on the show. He's been off doing his own thing for a little while. Chilling out, having
a
great
time. You talking about him having a baby?
He's actually sort of been doing... our thing, comic books.
Right, exactly. He is now the editor of the X-Men line of comic books over at Marvel.
Senior editor.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan D. White! Come on out.
What an honor.
Jordan, hello. Hello, Jordan. Thank you so much.
Oh, there we go.
There it is.
Woo!
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming out and doing the show. We do want to chat about X-Men comic books, but we're teasing you about this backstage.
And yes.
I think because there is, you can feel the heat radiating off the audience right now.
Yeah.
I think we should explain what's going on. Justin.
So in the last episode of our podcast of last year, Pete, totally legit out of nowhere, is like, oh, it's funny you ask that. Funny you say that. I've had a secret Punisher quiz hidden in the shrine that if someone says the right phrase, will open and they have the chance to win an unnamed prize that they pick up at his home.
No.
But wait.
Let's not forget that.
No, that's not true.
That is what you said.
Listen, no.
You said people pick it up at your home.
Shut up. I'm trying to explain. Stop cutting me off.
That was part of it.
No, they can either take a prize that's here or I have a bigger gift.
Both of you guys, though, are skipping what I think is the pertinent detail, which is that Pete set up this contest and didn't tell anybody 5 years ago.
Wow. So I assume upon hearing this, you guys went through a list of phrases Pete wants to hear, right?
Well, we felt like we could. It's for people to guess.
Oh, okay.
So, and there's a high chance tonight that
the audience doesn't say things during the show.
But no, during the audience have the opportunity.
Oh, okay.
What we did was like, we were like, why didn't you tell us this is a thing for 5 years?
It's a great question.
It's like if a pirate buried treasure was like, someone will find it.
No, I'm pretty sure the pirate buries the treasure does not want anyone to find it.
Yeah, but they draw a map.
That's
didn't even
themselves.
Draw a map.
Huh? That's for themselves.
To go back later.
They're it's like a bank account for them.
I see. That's why. Yeah. That's weird.
See, I don't want anybody to win because then I'll have to give away my Punisher stuff.
I'm 100% convinced it's some ham that he stuck in those slippers like 5 years
ago. Wait, can I just be like, hold on 1 second. Frankencastle sucks.
That's a.
Was that it?
I agree with that statement.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought maybe that was
that's
it.
That's great. Are you trying to? You trying to get it unlocked?
Yeah, I was trying to win his slippers back.
He's trying to win his slippers back.
He's trying to win his slippers back.
Since that was revealed at the end of last year in a very shocking manner, people have tried a couple of times to say the catchphrase and reveal what is inside. We think an audience member may have figured out the phrase, but Pete needs them to say the exact phrase.
Because it's not a riddle. There's no thinking to be done here.
No.
It's me.
The phrase is maybe, it's like if you were to go to the dentist and say, I would like my teeth cleaned. And the dentist would be like, that's the correct phrase.
or the
you may enter, like, and I will now clean said teeth.
There you go. That's
what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Like, if it was a Batman shrine, it would be like cowardly and superstitious or something. But like,
no, so you're overthinking.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
You're really
anyway, we're giving away too many hints. We'll get to that later on the show. But let's, now that we've established that and set the stakes for this particular show.
Yes, exactly.
Sure. Let's move it over.
Now that we've killed the show's family at a picnic, I think we can move on.
Jordan, you've been through so many changes since the last time we talked to you. You are now the senior editor of the X-Men line.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! That's huge.
So
that's
cool.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I literally can't even remember when the last time I was on the show was.
Last time you were doing Guardians, you were doing the space stuff, you were doing Star Wars. So it's been a while.
Yes.
You also have a child.
Yes.
So I feel like that's a factor.
That's a huge factor. That's the main factor.
And you also moved away. You're farther away now.
That is also true. Well, that was before the last time I was on. But yes, it takes a lot longer to get here and home.
Well, let's talk about the X-Men books, though. Because
that's probably the most relevant
part. Let's talk about the commute.
What subway do you take? Yeah.
I don't take the subway anymore.
That's why I asked the question.
Metro
North or what?
Yes.
What? What's it like being rich?
Wow. That's the craziest statement anyone's said, is that people that ride Metro North are the rich. Yep. We've clearly never ridden on Metro North. Riding on a subway that smells worse.
I was going to say, compared to the subway, that's rich.
Yeah. Well, very lightly.
So X-Men books, they've gone through a massive evolution over the past year or
they
so.
They sure have.
Was that your idea?
Were you like, let's scrap all of this?
Well, let's take a step back. What was it like when you came on board? What was the directive? What changed? How much did you bring to it?
So, I mean, there was a lot. We work on comics for a long time. Plans are far-reaching. So when I came onto the X-Men books, there was a lot of stuff in place that needed to be seen through. So like the Return of Wolverine, that was already well underway. The Extermination was well underway. But that being said, there is a bunch of stuff since then that didn't exist before I got on there, and either I had a hand in coming up with or I was there for coming up with it. So we just recently did a 10-issue weekly run on Uncanny X-Men, X-Men Disassembled. And the way that ends, in that story, I'm going to spoil it, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go for it.
In that story, the person they're fighting is X-Man, who says he's dying and that before he dies, he wants to fix the world. And the X-Men are like, the way you're talking about fixing it, it's not necessarily... Yeah.
We don't love the sound of
it. Yeah, we don't love it. So they fight him. Long story short, they all stop him from doing what he's going to do, but in a last-ditch effort, he goes, if I can't do that and because you're going to stop me, I'll do this one thing, which is I'll get rid of you. I'll take you all away to a different place. And so now we have two storylines starting, right? One started last week, one starting this week. One following all of those X-Men who disappeared into...
Who died.
What was that?
They died.
They died or disappeared. I mean, it's hard to say.
Are you saying where they sort of turned to dust, like a dust?
They were vanished.
They were sort of into an end game.
But then again, in last week's Age of X-Men Alpha, we see that there's this world called that not called Age of X-Men. We're calling Age of X-Men, where it's this weird.
I love the idea that they're like, this truly is the Age of X-Men.
We were just talking about earlier today that at the end of this series, we will reveal how old he is. That's obviously the get. What is the Age of X-Men?
He's 35.
29.
I think you guys are going too old. He's a young guy. Anyway,
he has a weird.
He does have a weird beard. Okay, don't let's. Let's move on. Let's move on to the actual comic.
What Metro North line again?
Hudson line.
I feel like we skipped past
Hudson
that.
Line. I moved from Forest Hills, where Spider-Man lives, to Westchester, where the X-Men live.
Very on brand. That's the secret to getting ahead in Marvel. Move where your characters live.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to write Kazar. What am I going to do?
Move to this Antarctica. It's going to be intense.
I'll find the Savage Land.
So in Age of X-Men world, it's a creepy utopia where no one is allowed to love because everybody's meant to be individuals. And there's going to be a series of six different miniseries covering that world. Meanwhile, starting this week, tomorrow, in Uncanny X-Men number 11, two characters who have been missing from the X-Men for a long time are back, Cyclops and Wolverine. They come back from the dead to find, oh, everybody else is dead.
Awkward.
So it's going to be a real cheerful book where they're going to restart the X-Men from not literally scratch, but as close to scratch as we get nowadays.
Then they're fun friends, too. So they're going to good.
They get along.
From a publishing perspective, I think it's kind of fascinating the way that you guys are hitting the X-Men stuff. I, by the way, really enjoyed the Disassembled Arc.
Thank you.
But I feel like you got into that number one, and it was so much X-Men continuity right off the bat. So many X-Men things going on. Every issue had a different cliffhanger, crazy events. And then you're hitting this issue 11, and it's almost like you're hitting the reset button again. So is that, I mean, it would make a certain sense if the X-Men was constantly evolution across the board, but what is the MO there? Is it that there's not really going to be a status quo for longer than 11 issues?
No, I wouldn't say that. But, you know, when we went into Disassembled, all right, well, I don't think I've said this out loud before in public, so I'm just going to reveal to you guys. Don't spread it around.
Okay, no problem.
When we came up with X-Men Disassembled, it wasn't going to be the first 10 issues of Uncanny X-Men. It was just going to be its own thing, X-Men Disassembled. But then, for various reasons, we went, oh, you know, let's call it Uncanny X-Men. That being said, I view that story as kind of its own thing that was sort of going, it's not literally wrapping up the previous series, but sort of as the breaking point between the previous series before all that and the new stuff that's coming out of it. And we are trying to give the books more of a sense of all being part of, not literally the same story, like you have to read every comic because it's all one story, but in the sense of they share that world. I think for a lot of time, there wasn't a huge amount of cohesiveness to the X-Men universe for a little while, which again is not an insult to any of the books themselves. On an individual basis, they were really good stuff. Like the people were doing great stuff, but I wanted to do what we can to bring back the connectivity and make people feel like, it's all part of one giant narrative, if not literally one story. Now, that being said, again, I'm literally just said we've got two different stories going on that are like different universes, but they both stem from the same thing. They both stem from the end of Disassembled.
And they're commenting on each other as they go. Like, the whole point of Cyclops and Wolverine making new X-Men teams is like, oh, shit, we don't have the rest of them.
Right, right.
So it makes sense.
Thank you.
Well, what is, tease a little bit of the status quo going forward. While everybody is off in the Age of X-Men universe, what happens, what can you tell us about Cyclops and Wolverine?
Well, as you guys said, the last time they were sharing a comic together, they weren't exactly buddies. But now the X-Men is at its lowest point in a long time. Not the comic quality. I'm talking about.
Nobody said that.
There was a chuckle that I felt like was aimed at me. It probably wasn't. Because they're all dead. All this other stuff is happening. They've made a vaccine that you can give to children that it stops them from becoming mutants, and they're going, hey, let's make that a law.
Cool. You're excited about that?
Yeah.
Pro-vax. Well,
look, in real life, vaccines are good, but not in this case.
Nice. Tricky line. Watch out.
I know. This is
politically
difficult.
Fraught.
So what are they doing? I think they're kind of wrestling with, are mutants completely doomed? Is this the end of our entire species? Or is there something we can do to bring us back? And Cyclops, I think we've been teasing in solicits, he makes up a list of things that need to be taken care of. And it's got some good stuff on it, and it's going to go some interesting ways.
I love when Cyclops is doing stuff.
So, I mean, the last time we left Cyclops before he died, mm-hmm. he was a mutant terrorist, right?
Yes, debatably. Depends. Yes, that was, or was he a freedom fighter? Yes.
Sure, but is that what his status quo is going forward, or is he trying? Is his list about something different?
Not quite. Because one of the things that if for those who don't know, when he was doing his mutant revolutionary stuff, there was a debate inside the X-Men of was he going too far. That's why Wolverine left Cyclops' X-Men and started his own X-Men.
You're damn right he did.
So you were against Cyclops, right?
Yeah, always.
And you'll remember, Pete, that Beast made the questionable choice of going back in time and bringing teenage Cyclops to the present so he could see his adult self and judge him.
Yeah, Beast is stupid. Beast is bad.
Hey, watch your mouth.
Beast is great. He just makes terrible choices.
Well, for someone who's like, I'm a genius, he fucks up constantly.
Yeah, but what geniuses don't screw up their
exactly.
lives?
The smartest people you know are usually pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he messes up on all fronts. He doesn't even have one thing figured out.
Yes, science. He's got it figured out.
Not really. He messes up all the time. He's always like, oh, shit, I missed that thing. Oh, God, what are we doing?
He made that mutant cure. I mean, he shouldn't have, but he did.
That's a mistake. That's a fuck up.
All right. So he brought the young kids to the future. And at the end of Extermination, when they finally went back into the past, the last thing that happened was through the machinations of young Cable, probably. Definitely. they made it so that while the X-Men forgot about everything so that they could live their lives again, when the time loop is closed, they all got their memories back. And so the Cyclops that we have in the book now not only remembers doing all the mutant revolutionary stuff, he also, for the first time, remembers being a young Cyclops, seeing that, and being like, oh, dude, that guy sucks.
And dating a vampire Storm, right?
He does remember dating a vampire Storm.
I just thought that comes up.
And I mean, they only dated very briefly.
Sure.
Literally, they were on their first date when she was murdered?
Their first date where they broke up.
Yeah.
And then she was murdered in front of him. Yes, all of this is true.
That's a bad first date.
You hate relationships. You fucking hate relationships.
Come on. Well, let me ask you this. Actually, that's a really good question, because this is a hot button question.
Yeah.
Who do you want Cyclops in a relationship with? Now, I know you hate Cyclops, but he's going to be in a relationship, let's say. Who do you want it with?
Wolverine. Why can't you focus on any other fucking character and give them a relationship?
Just answer the question.
Put the shittiest guy.
Why do you hate relationships?
Yeah. I love relationships.
Then who do you want him to have one with?
Okay, fine.
Now, it could be anybody.
It could be anybody, but it's Wolverine.
Sure. Okay.
Wow, fan. No. What do you think, Pete?
I'm trying to think of who can straighten him out.
Here are some options. Sort of high on the table. Jean Grey.
No.
Phoenix.
No.
Madeline Pryor. How about Jean Grey clone?
No.
It's questionable whether she exists anymore.
How about Mary Jane? Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
She also has red hair.
Red hair.
He likes redheads.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What about Lois Lane?
What?
I don't know. Anything's on the table.
All right. Yeah. You're leaving out the other big one, which is Emma Frost. A lot of people like them together.
Well, that at least makes sense because it's two shitty people together. You know, which to me that math adds up.
Honestly, I want the Cyclops relationship to be somebody new. I think the Jean Grey thing. Jean Grey
feels. What
about
Psylocke?
Yeah, sure, let's try it. I feel like he should try it. I'm not going to try it. I feel like the Jean Grey of current Marvel continuity is sort of above it all a little bit. What?
I mean, she's above relationships?
She doesn't have a lot of relationships.
She's in a relationship with Bishop in an alternate universe.
They were just making out. She doesn't remember it anymore, but sure.
cool. So it didn't happen.
Right. Well... It did. I saw it. Yeah.
What? Okay. So okay? Since you have, just to get off of this for a second, since you have the Age of X-Men books going on, and that's a whole line, and then you have Uncanny X-Men, is there one that you look at as leading the line at this point?
I mean, Uncanny X-Men.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
The line. That being said, the X-Men, the Age of X-Men books are super fun. So they got the X-Men book over there, Marvelous X-Men, where they're the biggest superheroes of that world. I'm really excited about the Extremists book, which is they're a bunch of superheroes. It's who's it? Jubilee, Psylocke, Blob, Iceman, Northstar, and a new character. And they are the like secret police of this world. They're like, I mean, they're kind of like fun-loving characters, a lot of them, but they're actually like disappearing
monsters.
People and like doing awful things, and it's a really twisted book, and it's really good. I'm really happy about it.
Wow, that's cool.
Did you again? I don't know what part of the development process you came in on this, but this is very much the flip side of Age of Apocalypse.
Oh yeah, that was 100% on purpose. Yeah. I was here for all that. We were like, what? I mean, and that's not easy because we were sitting there going, what? This is a world that X-Men has created. And again, I can't get into too much about that because there's a whole bunch of comics to read about it. But we were sitting there going like, well, he's not going to create an awful world, or at least not on the veneer of it. Like, it wouldn't be Apocalypse world where everything is awful and unfair. He would be like, no, I'm doing this to make a great world. So on its surface, it had to like seem like a utopia and then go to something where it isn't. And that was difficult to figure out, but the writers are terrific, and they came up with some great ideas.
So you've been working at Marvel for a really long time. You've touched
like 11 years, something like that?
Yeah, you've touched a lot of books. What is the thing that you're most proud of?
Honestly, I mean, right now it's still probably the run on Deadpool that I did with Jerry Duggan. I love it so much.
Nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
I just got a copy at work of the hardcover collection of all of Despicable Deadpool, which... like, I miss that book so much. It was so much fun. I don't think I've seen you since then. I mean, the last issue where we had like the gazillion pages of everybody vomiting was one of my favorite things to do. That was the thing we wanted to do as the first issue of Despicable Deadpool, and Jerry wrote the entire script where Deadpool puts this chemical he got in outer space on him that he thinks will give him superpowers, but it makes anyone who comes near him vomit. Uncontrollably. And so he's going to fight all the superheroes, and it's every Marvel character just puking their guts out. And he wrote this script, and I was like, this is so funny. Like, I can't even believe how great this is. And I showed it to like our editor-in-chief. He was like, there's no way this is getting published. There's no way this is getting published. And so then like a bunch of issues later, for the very final issue, which is like triple size, we were like, let's see if we can sneak it in. And also, we had a different editor in chief.
That's the way to do it.
So we got it in there. I'm really happy about it.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
That issue was great. That made me... Yeah. The way that it was timed out throughout it as well, I'm not even a big fan of like vomit jokes or anything, but it worked very nicely.
As long as you do enough vomits, it's
exactly.
Great.
And at a certain point, it becomes too much and it becomes funny.
Yeah, exactly. If we had had three people puke, it would have been like, this is unnecessary. And instead, we had like 30 people puke, and it's great.
Yeah, it's way more fun.
Other than Uncanny, other than the Age of X-Men stuff, anything else people should be keeping their eyes on with the X-Men books?
That's a great question. Well, I mean, those two things are the bulk of them, but that being said, we do have other stuff going on. Dead Man Logan, which is going to be the last Old Man Logan story, is going. It's a beautiful-looking book. It's really well done. Yeah. X-Force is a lot of fun. The Ed Brisson is writing that one as well, and the artist Dylan Burnett, who did Cosmic Ghost Rider for me a little bit ago, drawing it. It's the classic X-Force characters for the most part, but they're teamed up with young Cable, who killed old Cable. It's time travel stuff.
And he's sort of a jerk. Also, Deathlock.
Deathlock's in there as well. He was on the Uncanny X-Force, right? Or I think he was.
Maybe later on.
Yeah, I think he was in the Rick Remender run. Am I crazy about that?
That could be.
Maybe. And he's got, like, laser claws. That's cool.
Yeah, that's very popular, laser claws.
Yeah, man, who doesn't want laser claws?
There's a new claws.
And just character-wise, is there a under-the-radar character that people should be looking for?
He wants you to say cipher, but it's not going to happen.
No, that's actually not what I was going for.
Can I? I'll tell you a secret that there actually are
cipher's stupid. That's
no,
shut up. Secret.
Shut up.
There are actually really big plans for cipher.
What?
Yes.
Yes. Why?
It's what? True.
My time has come.
Why?
Only took.
He's dating cipher.
My entire life. But we got there, people. Wow. Thank you. This has been a team effort. I wanted to thank you and you and you.
World.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys, I guess.
Pete, listen, Wolverine's going to be there, too. Like, don't worry. Cool. It'll be all
right. Cool. But Cypher's going to kill him, right?
He's going to chop him up and turn him into a Frankenstein.
Great. No. Spell out some letters. And he's going to be like, I'm going to read you.
It's not funny.
Excellent. Very excited to hear that. That's great news. Check out all of the X-Men books. And guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, we do.
All right. In the stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books pretty quick here. First one, we're going to talk about, what's the one that I don't have here, guys?
That's called Marvel Knights.
Marvel
Knights number 6, right?
Yeah, I believe so. The last issue.
Yeah, there we go. Last issue of the title.
What?
That was a cough.
Who's shouting at me?
No one's talking to you.
I'm very thrown by the cipher.
That was really weird. No one said anything.
You were like, what?
You're happy. You're too happy.
I think of ranking it, there's like my wedding day, right? That's over there. That's like number 4. There's the birth of my...
Great. Weird to say 4.
second child, which is number 3. Birth of my first child, which is number 2.
Wow, you're making a lot of very close enemies right now.
And then the cipher news, right at the top.
Wow.
Right at the top.
That's great. Way to rank your children. That won't bite you in the ass.
They don't listen to podcasts. It's fine.
Cool.
No. I mean, they will in the future.
Yeah. It was just like a first come, first served process, wasn't it?
Exactly,
like,
yeah. Yeah, number one's number one, number two's number two. That's how it works.
Oh my God.
Yeah, my wife.
Your wife was pretty low on that.
She understands how important cipher is to me.
Oh my God. Definitely.
All right, let's talk about Mad Without Fear.
What Marvel Knights.
Marvel Knights number 6. Yo, I think Alex is fucked up. We might have to take over.
He's drinking again. Yeah, that's what it is.
He's having beer. Again. It's boom sauce, whatever that means. Cipher has big news coming. Who knows what that means? Oh, it might be that he just shows up in one book. That's great news.
That's what more is happening right now. Marvel Knights number 6 is wrapping up the series by Donnie Cates that is a riff on not exactly the street-level characters. It includes the Hulk. It includes Black Panther as well. Everybody has lost their memories in the Marvel Universe. This is wrapping up that storyline. How do you feel? How do you think it wrapped up?
I like this a lot. It was sort of when we talked about the first issue on the show, it was like, whoa, this is not what I expected. You expected like just some fighting and whatnot because it's the Marvel Knights edgy. But this was sort of a heartfelt tale about all these heroes trying to decide how the world should be and having to give up this perfect world because it's not the real world. It was good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot as well. Pete, how'd you feel?
Yeah, I love the choices. It took a little bit to build, but I think this wraps up really well. And they made some real fun creative choices, and I felt like they stayed true to the characters, so I was very happy with it.
The use of the Hulk in this last issue was very cool.
Yeah. Now, Donnie Cates used to be your intern. Are you mad at how successful he is?
I'm only mad at how little credit I get for it, because I think I taught him everything he knows during the internship, so...
He is killing it, man.
He's doing a really good job. I mean, I don't know if you've been reading Guardians. Of course, you have a comic book show, so you have been.
Yeah.
I love the stuff he's doing on that. I'm so excited about it. Working with him on Thanos was so great. Working with him on Cosmic Ghost Rider was great.
Oh, my God.
That's like multiple versions of the Punisher. You must be so excited.
I was fucking losing my mind.
That's awesome. Who's better, Cosmic Ghost Rider or the Punisher wearing... Or, I'm sorry, or Thanos wearing the Punisher shirt?
Right? That was tough, but... I gotta go with Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Okay,
really?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
So, where would you rank if you had to? Cosmic Ghost Rider, is he above as your
his
sort
children?
Of,
sort
yeah, my children and my
his
wife.
His children are way down on the list.
Sure, that's
but
right.
But his wife is number 1, and then
what is that?
We got
what
some
does
moves.
That mean?
Just appreciate your wife more than you do.
What you appreciate, my wife?
Yeah. I think he just unlocked Alex's wife's shrine right there.
All right, we're going to move on to Mad Without Fear, number 5, also from Marvel Comics. Pass that over your way. I really like this miniseries. Now, this is taking place between Charles Soule's run on the title and Chip Zdarsky's run, which picks up tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
showing how Matt Murdock is going through physical therapy, literally wrestling with his demons.
Yeah.
I didn't know how I felt about this for the first issue, but I am completely gung-ho on the series by the end. I think it nailed the emotion, came at Matt Murdock in a really good way. I liked it a lot.
I agree. A lot of fun stuff. It was great to see Foggy once again ignored.
You're a fucking piece of shit.
Wow.
Yeah, not wow. to ruin anything, but the last page is Foggy comes into Matt Murdock's hospital room where he's been laying up the entire time, and he's gone.
Yeah, Foggy has like coffee, lunch. Yeah. He's like, I can't wait to see my friend. Yeah. And literally, sash blowing in the wind. Later, Foggy, go fuck yourself. How does that make you feel?
Just how you think it would make
yeah.
you feel.
Yeah. yeah.
I stand by original statement. You're a piece of shit.
Okay, great. That's not a review of this comic.
But yeah, I was really impressed with how they handled the physical therapy and the fun, kind of like, well, it's not fun, but that the yellow demons was very yeah. cool the way he kind of like conquered that.
Well, I want to know what you want for Foggy.
I want someone to fucking acknowledge that Foggy is the fucking staple that holds Daredevil together. That's what
wow.
Nice. You.
Oh, one
you.
Person acknowledged it. All right.
Two.
Oh,
okay. Two.
You got
two
then you people. Got what you need. You
know, a lot of Foggy fans over yeah. here.
You know, they're wrong, crazy. Though. They're wrong.
Yeah. So. Whoa, Foggy sorry, doesn't guys, hold him together. He only goes to Foggy when he really needs something. And it's
right,
only when he does.
That's how important he is. He goes to Foggy when things are the worst.
Yeah, but he doesn't do anything nice for him.
He treats
He's
Foggy
a bad
like
friend
shit.
To Foggy.
Yeah.
That's what he's. So you want Daredevil to be like, listen. I love you as a friend. Like I owe you my life.
Yeah, I want to. Yeah, just acknowledge the fact.
But like
that
you know, the next day he'd just go back to treating him like garbage. Shouldn't Foggy go to him and go? You know what? Forget
it. Would be great if Foggy put on a pair of brass knuckles and why he was like all laying
what?
On the table just fuck. Boom.
Whoa! What?
Boom.
Whoa,
you want Foggy? What?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Wait, wow. What are you talking about? You want Foggy to kick the shit out of Matt Murdock?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. How's it feel, bitch?
Wow.
Yeah. That took a turn. Let's move on to
Different
Justice
take.
League Annual number one from DC Comics. Man, this book is crazy, friends. So the source wall has been broken. This issue, the Justice League tries to repair the source wall. Turns out the Legion of Doom, of course, shows up, throws a little wrinkle in their plans. There's a lot of big ideas in this book. How'd you feel about it?
Yeah, the source wall is the edge of the universe, and there's a hole in it, and so they fill it with like these big robot-y dudes, these titans. And, it's wild. I am excited to see Starman hanging around. That's a different Starman than Starman from the comics that I love.
Sure.
But it's still cool to see.
But it has the same name, so you're excited.
So I'm into it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's nice.
So these are the same Celestials from the Avengers, right?
Oh, wow. Ooh. Really throwing some shade.
Yeah, basically.
but yes, definitely. Let me ask you, you're announcing that Cypher has some big plans. Does
sure.
Starman have some big plans in the X-Men?
Yeah.
See? Great. Everybody wins.
Of course.
He did not.
So this issue is good. There's a lot of stuff going on for the future of the DC Universe. It's very heady, which is interesting to me. There's not a lot of depth of emotion going on there.
Hey, annuals were created for comic book fans to fill in the summer gap with a fun standalone story. And that's exactly what this is in January as a pretty intense continuity
bump. It's February. I hate to bring it to you.
Yeah, the annual thing particularly, I mean, to your point, is very weird to me what DC is doing now where they're like, great, here's part four of a story. That's essential.
Yeah.
What's the strategy behind that, do you think?
That is weird.
To release it as an annual?
Yeah.
I feel like it was just a story that needed more pages, so they released it as a longer issue.
Yeah. They were like, I know I was supposed to do 20 pages, but I need another 30 on top of that.
No, I think it was.
But they've been doing that pretty regularly,
yeah,
where there's stuff that happens in the middle of a storyline. It's not like outside, it's not a one shot or anything like that. Huh. It's like an essential part of the story, like part three or part four or something.
Yeah, that's
like
very
that.
Random.
Yeah, it's very strange.
The word annual doesn't mean a lot these days, I think.
Nope.
No, unfortunately, it doesn't. It just mostly means there's only one a year, but.
Not accurate.
I mean, sometimes we fudge it.
Yeah, it really just means this one's longer, guys.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to pay more.
And
you cracked the code.
And speaking of cracking the code, we're gonna move to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience question.
Whoa! Yeah!
I'm glad I'm going to go out to you guys. A couple of heads up here. You, sir, wow, your hand is up high. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name is Kier, and this is for Jordan.
Oh, nice.
Hello.
Nice.
Hi.
So, being the editor for X-Men...
Senior editor.
Really good at correcting
people.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. He worked really hard to get that title.
I've been there a long time.
The head honcho of X-Men editors.
Yes, that's good.
So, what is the process like? Because, I mean, I love the X-Men, but, like, especially during, the late 90s, well, all the 90s, like, it had, like, such a convoluted, like, multiple events and stuff, and even through the mid-2000s, like, what's the process like of just trying to keep up with all sorts of X-Men events and every storyline? And part two, I guess, would say, what are some things that you would look at for upcoming X-Men stories? Sorry, I've had a few things.
Sure.
So, first of all, yeah, X-Men history is real convoluted, and there's about 20 billion X-Men on the team at any given moment. So it's very complicated, and how do I keep it all straight in my head? I can't. We have a whole team of editors, and different ones of us know different parts of it better than others, so we'll talk about it.
Can I ask you, what are your sort of, what areas do you own?
Oh, well, first of all, Excalibur. Like, I love Excalibur.
Hey, how many questions you get a year for that?
People want Excalibur back. Well, we'll see. We'll see what we can do.
Interesting.
I love Excalibur. What other ones? I don't know. Various ones. I mean, this isn't my second time in the X-Men office, so I do remember my first time in the X-Men office pretty well. No, but there's different parts. And I will be totally honest, there's a big chunk of the 90s where I did not read anything. And I don't mean, obviously, the Jim Lee era. I mean, down the road from there.
Late 90s, you're talking like...
Late 90s, yeah.
Jeff Loeb, X-Force.
Yeah, I didn't read a lot of that. Well, I might have caught up on X-Force, because I remember at some point getting like a huge stack of X-Force comics from somebody, and I read through all of them. But
you're talking Maggot, Marrow, Cecilia Reyes.
So I did a... sorry to take up time. I did a thing... I went on Twitter relatively soon after... becoming the X-Men editor, and I said, hey, I'm going to write a song about an X-Man. Who do you want me to write about? Just reply, and I'll, write a song about them. I'll tabulate the votes, and I'll do it. And I'm thinking, obviously, it'll probably be Wolverine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it'll be Cyclops, and I'll be like, oh, I got to do a Cyclops song. I like Cyclops.
See, even he hates Cyclops.
Even I like Cyclops, but I don't want to write a rock song about him.
But because X-Men,
he's the worst.
Because X-Men fans are mean, they all voted for Maggot.
Yeah. Very popular character.
Really? Was it a poll?
I just said just reply.
Oh. I was going to say if it was a poll and Maggot is a choice, people would be like, ha ha ha, Maggot.
Yeah.
No, but. And so I had to go and read a bunch of Maggot stories. I mean, not a ton, but I read his origin. I read the one where he died. I read a bunch.
I'm gonna give you a little clue. There aren't a ton.
There are not.
He was around a lot.
I did a second one going, okay, guys, please, don't do this to me again.
And how was the Maggot song?
I think it turned out very well. I was very happy.
Nice.
And so I said, okay, let's do another one, but don't do that to me again. And so this time they picked Adam X the Extreme.
I mean, great character also.
Who I've read...
rumored to be the third Summers brother.
Oh, Fabian says he definitely is, except those comics never saw print. I knew far less about him than I knew about Maggot. So.
Is there a way to pick up that storyline to throw him in as a third?
There is definitely a way.
I'll take it.
Nope.
I'll take it.
It will not be pursued, I don't think.
Okay. I derailed your question.
And what things are we looking forward to? There are actually such huge plans for 2019 for X-Men. Again, I'm really happy with all the things we're doing right now, but this is nothing. It's not nothing. It's awesome, but this compared to what's coming up, it's small.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And it'd probably be no spoilers. Do you think I'll be happy or super pissed by what happens?
You're never happy. What?
That's a great answer.
The Age of X-Men Alpha is probably your perfect comic because it's a perfect world where everything is pretty much happy, except you'd have to stop before the bad things start happening, like halfway through.
There you
You're
go.
Never going to be happy in a story with conflict, right?
Sure, but...
I remember the time when I asked you, do you want to read a comic about the Punisher going, I'm done, I've killed all crime, I'll just retire and be happy now. And you were like, yep, I'd love it.
Yeah. Because the Punisher deserves to be happy. He's worked so hard to clean up the streets. It'd be nice to have one arc where he got to enjoy some happiness.
Here's what I'd like to see with the Punisher. Just once, I'd like to see the streets say thank you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, put on some brass knuckles and, like, beat the shit out of the Punisher. You know what I'm talking about?
The streets are going to come back.
That'd be sweet.
Punisher needs a Foggy.
I mean, he usually kills them.
Actually,
is the
over
problem.
Here, what's your name? What's your question?
Hello, everybody. Hey. It's Pablo.
Hey, Pablo.
Hey, Pete. Since we talked about mutants earlier.
Heard of them.
Which Marvel character would you like to see as a mutant?
Ooh. Okay, so somebody who's not a mutant that we'd like to see.
No. Who would you like to see as a mutant? Like Wolverine or Cyclops or somebody
like
that?
Great to see.
Which character? I tend to see them all as mutants. Yeah, no. Okay. Wait, so like all of a sudden Spider-Man would develop an additional power? Like, I don't.
I feel like the question is more, which character would you like to see be, like, part of the X-Men, like, be a mutant, big-time mutant? Okay.
I have a definite answer for that.
What? Okay.
Gwenpool.
Gwenpool.
Of course you're going to say that.
Have you been reading West Coast Avengers?
Of course.
Yeah, Gwenpool.
Fun times.
Very fun.
She's the best. I love her. Yeah. I miss her.
Do you think, is she a mutant?
I mean, no.
Okay.
She doesn't... No. But maybe she can find a way to make that part of her story, and then she will be.
Gotcha.
All right.
Fair enough.
Pete, what do you think?
Squirrel Girl.
She was a mutant, and then they unmutanted her.
No.
Oh, wow.
There was a really funny issue where they were like, aren't you a mutant? And she was like, no, in a very legally distinctive way, I am not a mutant.
Weird.
Yeah. I'd also, same thing with like Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. It'd be nice to see them as mutants again.
That seems very unlikely. That's so out of character for them.
Yeah, that's true. That would never happen. Justin, do you have one?
I want to see the Hulk over there. Because he'd be like, I feel like he'd be like, wait, we're hated and oppressed? I don't do that speed. I'd be very curious how that, not this current sort of horror Hulk, but more the like smash Hulk.
But like Banner would be like, no, they're right to hate us. We're terrible.
Yeah, I think that's a great conflict there.
Well, that's good.
Cool. Mm-hmm. You, sir, what is your name and what's your question?
My name is Kevin, and I will admit I've spent the last few minutes now in my head shipping Cyclops and Cypher.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. No, man.
God, what a boring relationship.
Sci-Sci?
Sci-Sci. Yeah.
Now, going off characters like Maggot and the rest, who is somebody...
That's how I like to think of the X-Men, Maggot and the Rest.
That's a great title for a new book.
Maggot and the Rest.
I'd buy that.
Who is a character who has never had a solo title who you would love to see have one?
Oh, from the X-Men.
Is there a character that's never had a solo title? Yeah, there are. On the X-Men, there's a ton. Because, that's some. I mean, it will shock you to learn. I think a lot about the X-Men and what makes them work.
Mm.
I know. And part of the reason that the X-Men, they've had, moderately successful series for solo characters. But I think part of the reason that so far only Wolverine has like a really, really long-lived one is because Wolverine is a character. But here's why he's the best. It's because as a character, Wolverine is one that we've figured out what the story is. Like, what is the Wolverine story? And it's like, oh, we know what that is. We can keep that going.
But he was briefly a samurai. He is a regular story. that makes sense.
But it is basically the same core of the story through that whole thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, what is Cyclops' story? Well, most of the time, what we think of as Cyclops' story is tied up in leading the X-Men. So a solo series about leading the X-Men isn't a solo series. But that being said, there's a ton of characters who've already had one, so I'm trying to think of one who hasn't, because like Nightcrawler's had one, Gambit's had one.
Yeah. I have one Storm. That I saw, a character I saw recently in Uncanny X-Men, Husk. who is Sam Guthrie's sister, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, I feel like she's an X-Man that had an interesting story for a while and had a relationship and sort of like, I want to see her go back home to the farm and see what that what happens.
You just want her living on a farm?
Well, I want to see what her, she's someone who has a strong point of view, is very aggressive. Her power's really interesting and it sort of feels like it changes with her personality a little bit. Yep, yep. And I feel like putting her in a different environment and seeing what happens would be very cool.
I think last time they went back to the farm, they did a Shakespeare story, right?
They did. And plus also aren't a bunch of the other kids shit. Like mutants?
Some of the mutants and
was that an extreme X-Men when they did that?
Or was no, that was Uncanny, I think.
Uncanny. And they went back and it was with
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, Romeo and Juliet with another Guthrie kid and another, and they were both happened to be mutants as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow.
You guys having fun?
Yeah,
talking hey, we're talking about comics.
Yeah,
hey, keep up. Shakespeare was a writer too.
wow!
Did you?
You're a that, cool teacher.
Hey, Shakespeare was the original Chris Claremont. Did you know that?
Wow. Has Psylocke had her own?
That's what I was just about to say. I don't think she's ever had her own series, man. And she is great. So yeah. I would love to see that.
Cool. Nice.
All right, I'll pitch you afterwards.
Okay.
Good questions. Do we have any other questions here?
Any other questions?
You, sir, right up there, why don't you come on down? What's your name? What's your question? Now, I'm curious if you have a question or a statement or something like that.
An utterance.
Anyway, let's see what happens.
An utterance.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I'm John, and I want to take the Secret Punisher quiz.
Yes, sir! Please,
that was the phrase.
What?
That was the phrase.
Wait, you decided that was the phrase. Did not tell anyone there was a secret. What would the odds have been?
That's what Aaron's been going through. She was like, this doesn't make any sense. Welcome to my world. Okay. I don't make any sense.
Keep in mind, this is a shrine that's a pile of clothes. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
Wow.
Wait, welcome.
Can we set up also that usually Pete's trivia is a bunch of bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. I think, to be fair, it's a bunch of bullshit. This is like legitimate.
I think he would call it a comedy bit.
Thank you.
Yeah, what's the difference? Am I right?
No.
This is real Punisher trivia, right?
That is correct.
Like actually deep cut Punisher trivia.
That is correct.
Okay.
And there's no, I'm not going to be hinting. I'm not going to.
So what happens if he?
So basically,
here, give the setup.
Tell us what this is.
So basically,
because the shrine, let's give it some drama here. The shrine has been unlocked.
Yeah, that's right.
The shrine is open. Like we don't know what's going to come out.
Actually, no, not yet.
Okay, the quiz has been unlocked.
When it opens, do we have to like close our eyes to not die?
Yes, we'll melt.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if he makes it through the questions gauntlet,
gauntlet,
then the shrine is unlocked and he moves on to the physical challenge.
What?
Okay. But he is not there yet.
Okay.
Also, if he gets a question wrong, the quiz is over.
Is the physical challenge you have to live as the Punisher for 1 year?
No.
Okay, good.
Sorry, I have an additional question. This is actually a serious question. So let's say he gets the first question, and then he gets the second question wrong. Do the questions change the next time? Can he come back next week?
He can come back next week, pick right where, or somebody else can come back and pick up where he left off.
And the phrase
then
stays the same.
Then we have a ball game.
Yeah.
All right, here
the phrase stays the same?
Someone could steal
phrase
it.
Phrase stays the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
These questions are
now, if he masters and solves it all and does everything correctly, then I'll have to rewrite the whole thing and come up with a new phrase.
Yeah, okay.
But until then,
I have a feeling I could guess what the new phrase is going to be.
Oh, yeah?
I'd like to take the new Secret Punisher.
Oh, man! Come on!
Okay, sorry. Spoiled it.
Okay, here we go. Only the true Punisher fan shall pass.
And we should say that Pete is holding a stone tablet that he carved these questions.
Yeah, we just got spotted, I think.
Question number one. What was the name of the fictional character that inspired the Punisher? Is it A, the Gamekeeper, B, the Hitman, or C, the Executioner?
Ooh.
That is, I think, the Executioner. It's a novel.
You're correct.
Oh! Yeah.
Well done.
Great. That's great.
And inspired is probably generous.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's kind of ripped off.
One more. Wow, okay. That not cool, Jordan. Not cool, not now.
Yeah.
How many questions are there, real quick?
There are seven.
Oh my God.
So many.
Here we go. Question number two.
This is great.
In the 1990s Marvel-DC crossover event, who did the Punisher make very scared and almost shoot? Is it A, the Joker, B, the Scarecrow, or C, Mad Hatter?
Ooh.
I'm going to say it's a guess. The Scarecrow?
Nope, you are incorrect. Thank you for trying.
Wow. And the shrine remains locked.
Could he have a free pass or like call a friend or anything?
Nope.
Like that?
Yes. How does that work?
No.
Any hints?
Okay, great. All right. All right, John, amazing job. You
Great
have.
Job.
Are we saying unlock the Punisher Shrine? No.
No, he's not unlocked.
He's not unlocked yet.
I tried to do that and I was wrong.
You've unlocked the Punisher Quiz.
Quiz.
Which is an incredible achievement.
Wow.
5 years in the making.
5 years.
You made
5 years
to
in.
The second question. This is like
it's
HQ
exciting.
Trivia online.
It really is. It's 5 years in the making and only 60 days possible to know what it is because it's was it's a secret
because
for
it's the weirdest thing that's ever happened. But that's great.
Hold on. I said this backstage. In a month or two from now, people are going to be like, oh, yeah, did you know that Punisher quiz show used to be a comic book talk show? Because that's what's happening here.
Pete, just a quick question for you. Does John get first crack next week or is it really anybody's game?
It's anybody's game.
But, like, people can't just start screaming it from the audience anytime, right?
No, it's only for audience questions.
Only during audience questions. Okay.
Right. But since I run audience questions, I could always pick John first.
You could.
If I really want to.
Or people could find you before the show and bribe you to pick them
right.
first.
Oh, that's a great
so
point.
Actually, I'm the keeper of the Punisher quiz. That's an interesting turn
yeah,
of
if
events.
You wanted wow. to, you could Mitch McConnell this and be like, no audience questions.
Look, Alex found a way to ruin it for you. Yeah.
Not surprised.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you guys so much. That's amazing. I'm very excited for these next couple of weeks to see what happens. Those questions are clearly very hard. So
yes.
No As
bullshit.
We all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
What? We're doing this?
Yeah, we did
normal trivia?
Wait, oh, we're doing normal trivia.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Pete's slowly eating up our show.
Jesus Christ, Pete.
This is a takeover.
Here's another fucking trivia thing.
Yeah. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. The guy who didn't get... an opportunity for audience questions. Why don't you come on down? You will partake in the trivia.
Nice.
All right, here we go. This is actually easy.
Yeah. What is your name, sir?
My name is Jarrell.
Jarrell? Audience?
Wow.
Audience Jarrell.
Cool.
All right, cool.
Sure.
So, Jarrell.
My kid's name is Superman.
Oh,
nice.
Wow.
Nice.
That's actually not a joke. His middle name is Kal-El.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Nice.
So today's trivia is on Jordan D. White.
What?
So as long as you know everything about Jordan D. White, you will be fine.
Oh, yeah. That's
okay.
He's going to be great.
So I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 gift card will be yours. All right. Here we go. Jordan D. White has a YouTube page where he... Is it A, plays the uke and sings songs, B, talks about Marvel Comics and plugs upcoming events, or is it C, teaches bouncers to be nice? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could pick B or C.
Okay, this is a tough one.
Don't overthink it.
I'm going to have to go with A.
A is correct.
Nice.
He plays the uke and sings songs. It's pretty amazing.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan.
Oh.
Here we go. Question number two. Jordan D. White is a huge fan of many things, but of these three, what is he the biggest fan of? Is it A, Star Wars, B, Sailor Moon, or C, Sam Elliott? So it's either A, Star Wars, or B, Sailor Moon.
You're killing me here.
Yeah, you know.
Say B.
I'm gonna go with B.
B is nice. Correct.
Hooray!
Huge Sailor Moon fan.
Yes, great.
It's
now,
the one called Sailor Moon.
It is.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Right. Last one. Jordan D. White has worked on a ton of comic books like Deadpool, Star Wars, X-Men. But what is his favorite comic? Is it A, Savage Dragon, B, The Hulk, or C, Ripping Throats Monthly? So it's either A, Savage Dragon, and you are $25 richer, and they've gift card to Mintel Comics, or you could pick B or C and completely blow it.
I'm going to go with Savage Dragon.
Savage Dragon is correct. Nice. 25 free dollars, sir. Congratulations.
Very cool. Pete, you have any more trivia games or anything you want to do?
Nope, but did you know? Roadhouse is correct.
Oh, Roadhouse. Nice, yeah.
Yes, there is a secondary trivia quiz off of his.
What? Yeah, what is this?
What was that?
What is this?
All three of the C items have now become a thing where he tries to guess what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
And right. It was...
So he did have a third trivia. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you haven't been here a while. Pete's the fucking Riddler now. Sorry, that's a big new thing that he does.
So that's the deal with the spandex. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's why he wears the question mark suit, yeah. And he dances around, and he asks questions any chance he fucking gets.
Now, as we all know, it's
new tomorrow, comic book day.
New comic book day is tomorrow.
Yep.
Pete,
yep.
What are you looking forward to? A fucking trivia book or something?
I'm looking
is
for.
Is it A?
It's BPRD, The Devil You May Know,
nice.
As well as Umbrella Academy, Hotel Oblivion number 5.
Any particular reason?
I'm just excited in BPRD. Hellboy is back, and I'm excited to see where that goes. And then I'm excited about the Umbrella Academy TV show, so I'm getting back into the books.
You know, the reviews of that show are pretty good.
I've seen it.
I know.
Yeah, it's all right.
But I'm saying you said that to me earlier, but the reviews are better than all right.
Yes.
So
there you go.
What do we think?
Who do
about
you trust?
That?
Me, who you've done a show with for 13 years, or other reviewers?
Say other reviewers.
That's a loaded question.
Always you, Alex.
Notice he didn't look at you when he said that.
Did he see me?
He did see you.
What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Die Number 3 from Image Comics. Kieran Gillen's book about Dungeons & Dragons and people that get from the real world that get sucked into a Dungeons & Dragons universe and the ramifications and stakes that comes along with that. Very fun book. Beautifully drawn. Love it.
And I should mention, beyond the Comic Book Club podcast, we do a regular review podcast called The Stack that goes on the same feed every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. We'll have a review of Die Number 3 on there. We'll also have a review of my pick, which is Uncanny X-Men number 11.
Ooh.
Very excited for that.
Yes.
I love Cyclops. Fuck you, Pete.
Yeah.
I think he's a great character. I'm very excited to see him back.
You have horrible judgment.
See what's going on with X-Men going forward. I think that's going to be pretty cool. Jordan, anything you want to plug?
Again, Uncanny X-Men is tomorrow. Marvelous X-Men number 1 is tomorrow. And then every week for the 5 weeks that follow, another number 1 from Age of X-Men is going to be coming out. Next Gen, Extremists, Amazing Nightcrawler, Prisoner X, and Apocalypse and the Extracts. All of them are crazy fun books. So check them out.
And do we know how long the Age of X-Men books are going on for?
We know that they are 5 issues long.
Okay.
Ooh. Interesting. 5.
Interesting. Okay. That's a good number.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Couple of things to plug before we go. The show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. If you'd like to support it, patreon.com/comicbookclub. We have a secret Patreon Slack where you can bounce around clues to the Punisher Shrine and other things going
on. But it's not all that. Like, we do other stuff. We talk about other stuff, too.
Yeah, we
have to talk about this the whole time.
Yeah, we talk about a lot of stuff. Yeah. Mainly your dog.
My dog is popular on the Slack.
Yes. We also have a couple of other podcasts. Our Riverdale podcast, Riverdale After Dark, runs every week after the episode. Also, we have a Deadly Class podcast. That was the other one I was forgetting.
That show's so good.
It's great. It's great. Deadly Cast. The other thing that we should mention, youtube.com/comicbookclub has laid relatively dormant for a while, but we've been recording a couple of the podcasts over Skype and throwing videos up there. They're a little janky. We're working on it. But if you want to watch some video content as well, that is up there if you don't like only listening to things for whatever reason.
If you want to see the sour faces Pete makes in person as opposed to just hear them.
Or his creepy eyes.
Yeah, got it.
Or if you want to see Justin's dog occasionally.
My dog. pops in. I'm in my weird basement.
Lots
Please
of stuff
check
going
out.
On there. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. And a couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Jordan for
Jordan!
Being on the
yeah!
show.
Thank
you. Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks,
good night,
everybody. Guys.
Thanks for
thank
coming.
You.
We appreciate it. Thanks for listening at home.
Don't.